Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Sanhedrin Daf Nun Ches. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur. And even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. The previous shiur started to cover the issue of Dinei Arayos Livnei Noyach. In the previous discussion, we saw Shitas Rabbi Meir that suggested that any type of immoral relationship that a Jewish court would carry out the death penalty, covering such immoral relations, the Ben Noach is also bound, is muzhar olal, is warned against, and will also be held guilty. Before we go further, it's worth repeating a fairly well-known idea that in the realm of immorality, not all forbidden relations are punishable by capital punishment, by the death penalty. There are those that are punishable by capital punishment. There are those that are punishable by kores, was a heavenly carried out punishment, whereby a person is cut off. And there's another realm called lavim, where those are punishable by lashes. And in fact, there are other categories, but for the time being, we're going to be focusing on those that are punishable by the death penalty versus those that are not punishable by the death penalty, but possibly through kores. In the previous discussion, we saw Rabbi Meir say that what we mentioned a few moments ago, that those immoral relations that are punishable by the death penalty in Jewish courts, only on those is the Noahide forbidden. On this, the Gemara asks, and the actual reading of today's shiur will start the second line from the bottom of Daf Nun Zayin Amud Beis. V'sova Rabbi Meir kol ervo shebeis din sheyisrael memisin aleho ben Noach muzhar aleho. Is that so that Rabbi Meir holds that any ervo, immoral relationship, forbidden relationship that a Jewish court would execute over, only on those is a ben Noach warned? V'hotanya. We have another Tanaic source. We've numbered this Roman numeral number 2. This is contrasted with the previous source, which we had numbered Roman numeral 1. In this source, there is a myriad of details. The main point of this source, as far as our current discussion is concerned, we've featured with a dashed underline, and with that, we essentially should be able to understand the entire thrust of this particular question. The length of this question, by the way, is indicated by a long question marking, whereby on Nun Zayin Mubeis, you see to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text a kuf that's encircled with a dashed vertical line, which takes in all of this upcoming source that we see here on Nun Ches Omer Aleph at the top. In this source, we find, under Rabbi Meir, the following comment, that all the types of arayas are mutter, where such an expression is used. He used the expression ushar kol arayas, and you can see there's a dashed underline expression toward the end of the source. It says lasuye eishes aviv. Very simply put, according to this source, Rabbi Meir will be telling you that an eishes aviv is mutter to a ben Noach. The relationship of Eishes Oviv, namely father's wife, is a forbidden relationship under the Jewish standard, whereby the court would carry out capital punishment, and yet we find that a Noahide would be allowed to have a relationship with an Eishes Oviv. After the source, the Gemara, and through Rav Yehuda, will say that there is no contradiction within Rabbi Meir himself. There are really two opinions that Rabbi Meir is reflecting. We have source number one, where in which he said that those that are punishable by Jewish courts are forbidden to the Noahide. That particular source number one would be Rabbi Meir according to Rabbi Akiva. The second source, that would allow those kind of relationships, and in fact forbid only those that are of a kores nature, that will be Rabbi Meir according to Rabbi Eliezer. So, very simply put, there is no contradiction within Rabbi Meir. We have two Tanaic sources, and they simply reflect two different opinions of the different teachers that Rabbi Meir himself as a student had been exposed to. As far as the details of this source are concerned, we will not dwell on them. We will basically go through this source, viewing an extensive list of different relatives, and realize that far more detail is necessary to understand the source, and that one can see by learning the Rashi. The source itself opens up with a situation of a person whose mother became impregnated when she was a non-Jew, but during her pregnancy she converted and bore a child. This child is considered one having no relationship to the people from his father's side. There's a concept that we find in Judaism that a ger shenizgayer, a person who converts, is kikoton shenola domi. He is considered as a new human being. So that this particular child, though he was born from a Jewish mother, when he was conceived, though, he was conceived in a state whereby they were not Jewish. Therefore, at the point of conversion, he loses all halachic, all legal connections with his biological father. The standards that we apply to a ger, to one who converts, is reflective of how we would have dealt with him had he been a non-Jew. In other words, we don't want a situation where some type of relationship would have been forbidden to him as a Noahide, and then when becoming Jewish, that particular relationship would become mutter. The expression that we find is that it should not be said that he comes from a higher form of holiness, being a non-Jew, and then when becoming a Jew, the standards become lax, so as to prevent this type of reputation being established. We apply to this converted individual a standard that would have been no less than what he was beforehand. So if we find types of relationships that are mutter to this converted individual, that is, in other words, relationships that are permitted, that would be indicative that in his pre-converted state, they would have also been permitted. Let us now start the source. Ger shehoisa hayrosoi shelo b'kedusha, an individual who is viewed as a convert, whose conception was before his mother had converted, v'leidoso b'kedusha, his birth, his entrance into the world, took place when his mother was b'kedusha, was in a state of conversion. Yesh lo yisher ho'em, v'ein lo yisher ho'av. She'er is an expression referring to relationship or relatives. So he is said to have relatives from his mother's side. However, he is said to have no relatives from his father's side. And as we mentioned before, there is a gzera, there is a ruling or a precautionary measure that we take with regard to gerim, that those types of relationships that would have been forbidden when he was a non-Jew will still be forbidden when he is a Jew, even though midoraisa, that is not the case. Ha kesad. Let us have illustrations of this. Noso achoisai. The newborn, in other words, this individual whose mother converted while pregnant, we'll refer to him as a ger henceforth for the sake of simplicity. So this ger, if he marries his sister, minhoeim yotzi, if it's a sister from the mother, in other words, they have a common mother, so he must divorce her. Minhoav yikayim. However, if he marries a sister from the same father, then he can maintain her as a wife. Achos ha'ov. If he marries his father's sister, minhoeim yotzi. If they had a common mother, in other words, the sister of the father and the father had a common mother, in other words, his grandmother, then yotzi minhoav, if they have a common father, yikayim. Achos ha'em, minhoem yotzi, a mother's sister through a common grandmother, then he must divorce her. However, if he marries achos ha'em minhoav, a mother's sister that she has through a common father, Rabbi Meir Omer Yotzi, v'chachomim omrim yikayim. In this case, we find a Tanaic controversy. Rabbi Meir says he can maintain her, and the Chachomim say he must get rid of her, he must divorce her. Shehoya Rabbi Meir Omer, kol erva shehi mishum she'er aim yotzi. Rabbi Meir makes a rule that all types of forbidden relatives that are through the mother, that type of woman must be divorced. Mishum she'er ha'av yikayim. If the relative is related through the father, then that relationship can be maintained. Umuter be'eshes ochiv. He is allowed to marry his brother's wife. There is no isur, there's no prohibition of eshes ach, of brother's wife, in the realm of the Noahide laws. Ube'eshes achi oviv, and the wife of his father's brother. Ushar kol arayos mutoros lo. All other types of forbidden relationships that come as a result of being married to so-and-so, these kinds of relationships that are called, that are come through ishus. Now, this was a seemingly sweeping statement that Sha'ar Kol Arayos Mutaros, though it's pointed out, La'asuye Eishes Oviv, this includes father's wife. And at this point, we pause to emphasize through our markings that this is the most significant point of the source for our discussion. We are saying here that Eishes Oviv, which is a type of relationship that in a Jewish court would execute someone who violated this, and yet we see Rabbi Meir saying that it is mutter for the Bnei Noach. Noso isha ubita koines achas umotzi achas. If he married a mother and her daughter and then converts, so we say he has to divorce one and can maintain the other. We have a semicolon here indicating that the continuation is not a direct flow, as we will explain momentarily. Ulechadchila lo yichnois. All of the relatives that we mentioned above, that yikayim, that he is allowed to maintain them, we would say that if we were consulted initially, should he marry them, we would say, don't marry them. Mesa ishtoi mutter b'chamoisoi. If a person's wife dies, this we're talking, of course, about this ger, if his wife dies, he is allowed to marry her mother. Ve'ika di'amri osur b'chamoisai. Another opinion says that he is forbidden to marry her mother. At this point, we essentially conclude the question by showing that Rabbi Meir could not have held, as we saw on the previous Amud, that Kol Erva Shebeiz Din Sheisro Mimisa Mala Benoach Muzar Alela. We see here he allows the Eishes Aviv. Omar Rav Yehuda Lo Kashia. This does not present a difficulty to us. Ha Rabbi Meir Aliva de Rabbi Eliezer. Ha Rabbi Meir Aliva de Rabbi Kiva. Let's say which refers to what. The source that indicated Achoisoi Osur and Eishes Aviv Muteres, namely, that's the source Roman numeral number 2, that is Rabbi Meir according to Rabbi Eliezer. The Ha, that Roman numeral 1 source on Nun Zion Mabez that we labeled as Roman numeral number 1, that is Rabbi Meir, Aliba de Rabbi Kiva. In that source we saw that Chayve Misos were Ne'esar, but not Chayve Krisus. Desanyo, we now present a source in which we will see these two opinions, Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva. Both of them expound on the same pasuk, Bereishis Beis, Perek Beis, pasuk Chof Dalet. We've included in our marked Gemaras this pasuk in the margin, and let us read it together first. It says, Al Kain Ya'azov Ish Es Aviv Es Imoi, that as a this pasuk appears in the story involving the creation of man and woman, Adam and Chava, and upon the wife being created, as upon the institution of marriage being established, the pasuk says that a person should leave es oviv ves imoy. Literally, a person should leave his father and his mother, but we will see that these words are expounded upon. They are darshened to mean something totally different. V'dovak b'ishtoi, and he shall cleave unto his wife, v'hoyu l'boser echad, and literally it says, and they shall become one flesh. Each word of this pasuk will be expounded upon through the strength of the oral law, the Torah Shebaal Peh, to reveal many, many more details. Suffice it to say that this pasuk is addressing the Bnei Noach. It's addressing all of humanity. Now, we continue in the Gemara itself. Desanyo, Al Kain Yazov Ish Es Oviv Es Imoi. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Oviv equals Achois Oviv. Imoi equals Achois Imoi. What is the pasuk saying? It's saying that a person, Ben Noach, shall avoid Oviv. What does that mean? Avoid father-sister. Imo means avoid mother-sister. Those are examples, by the way, of Chayve Krisus. They are not Chayve Misos Besus. Rabbi Lezer is saying what is forbidden? Those relationships that we can classify as Chayve Krisus. Rabbi Akiva Oimer Oviv equals Eishes Oviv. Imoi equals Imoi Mamish. According to Rabbi Kiva, a person, the Posuk is instructing the individual, the Ben Noach, to avoid a relationship with his father's wife. That is an example of Chayve Misois, capital offenses. And Imoi Mamish means he should not have relations with his mother, literally. The Posuk says, Vidovak, he shall cleave. That's velo bezohar. Without getting into details, Rashi explains it a little further. It means that one is not to have homosexual relations. And this is a warning to all of humanity. Be'ishtoi veloi be'eshes chavero. He shall cleave unto his wife, and not another person's wife. V'hoyu lebosar echad. And they shall become one flesh. Mi shenasim boser echad. Though that's a reference to those with whom a newborn can result. Yotsu, to the exclusion of behema v'chayo, a warning not to have bestial relations, because relations like that do not produce offspring. She'ein naasim boser echad. They cannot ever become a new human being, a new entity. Let us glance at the Rashi that's found on the lower part of the page, approximately four lines from the bottom. Yotsu behemo v'chayo, she'ein yoldin min ha'odom. Intimacy with these creatures, with a behemo, with cattle, or with undomesticated animals, does not result in the birth of a human being. Hani de Rabbi Kiva, the examples that are listed under Rabbi Kiva's name, Kulhu chayve misos ninhu. They're all capital offenses. Umino yolef l'chol chayve misos. And from this we learn that all capital type offenses, in terms of the morality or immorality, those relationships are forbidden to the Bnei Noach according to Rabbi Kiva. Aval Rabbi Eliezer lesle kurva de ishus. According to Rabbi Eliezer, though, he does not see in the pasuk any reference to relatives that become relatives through marriage. The islay kurva the ach. However, according to Rabbi Lezer, the pasuk is warning against having relations to those kinds of relatives that we might refer to as blood relatives, brother, sister, and the like. So those that are blood relatives, mother's sister, father's sister, those are examples of blood relatives. As far as specifically which ones are forbidden, so this is part of the detailed discussion of the Gemara. For our purposes, though, the breakdown is, according to Rabbi Lezer, Chayve Krisus would be forbidden, and not necessarily Chayve Misos Bestin. And Rabbi Kiva taking an opposite approach, where, generally speaking, chayve misos bezin are those types of relatives that are forbidden, whereas chayve krisus would not necessarily be forbidden. Omar Mar. Now, we turn back to the sources that we learned and provide excerpts from those sources and explain them a little further. So this is a quote from what we just saw. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Oviv equals Achois Aviv. That when the Torah is saying that one should abandon, should avoid Aviv, it's an instruction he should not have relations with Achos Aviv, with father's sister. The Gemara now has a series of questions. We, with our markings, have indicated this with the double underline, one of our series markings, attempts or suggestions, you know, for alternative explanations. Ema Aviv Mamish. Maybe the Pasuk in Perek Beis, Pasuk Havdalet, is warning not to have a homosexual relationship with his own father. The Gemara says, no, that's not what this Pasuk is referring to. That's not what Aviv is referring to, because Hainu Vidovak Velo Bezochar. That's already included in the word Vidovak, which we explained before to mean the word Vidovak excludes homosexual relations, which would include one's own father as well. Amo Ashes Aviv, let us suggest maybe under Rabbi Eliezer's name, instead of saying Achos Aviv, father's sister, maybe it means Ashes Aviv, father's wife. The Gemara says, no, Hainu be'ishtoi veloi be'ishes chaver. That's already included in the drosha on the word be'ishto, which we understood to mean, and not fellow individual's wife. And father is an example of a fellow individual. Emo li'achar misa, maybe the expression of Aviv, in fact, does mechayev, does hold accountable a relationship with father's wife after the father dies. In other words, it's true that be'ishto meant and not fellow's wife. That's as long as the fellow is alive. When the other fellow dies, so his wife will become mutter, will become permissive, permitted. However, with regard to a father, when the father dies, we're suggesting the father's wife would still remain forbidden. So the Gemara says, no, according to Rabbi Lezer, this pasuk of Aviv has nothing to do with father's wife. Dumyo di imoi. Because this is taught in the same context as imo. The pasuk said, Yazov ish es aviv ve'es imo. They're taught parallel to one another. Ma imoi delav ishus. Just like the example of imoi as Rabbi Lezer understood it to mean mother's sister, is a relative not through marriage. Af Aviv, so too, Aviv, according to Rabbi Lezer, will be a person, and is a woman, that's the Lav Ishus, who's related, but not through marriage, but rather blood-related, Achois, Aviv, father's sister. Continuing in a quote from above, in order to help you find this, we have an arrow to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, and you scan up, and you'll find the parallel arrow. This is an excerpt from the Rabbi Lezer's teaching. Imoi equals Achois Imoi. Once again, you can see the series marking indicating a presentation of alternative explanations, which will be rejected. The Emo Imoi Mamish, maybe the Torah is saying not to have relations with one's own mother. The Gemara says, no, that's not what Imo is teaching. Hainu be'ishto v'lo be'ishes chavero. Mother would be, as far as mother herself, she's already included in the drosha we saw on the word ishto, which meant not fellow's wife. And one's own mother is his father's wife. So, and the father we pointed out earlier is no different than any other fellow. So, what is Imo left to teach? If not mother, literally. So far, we're sticking with the explanation of Achosimo, mother's sister. V'emo li'achar misa, maybe it is Imo Mamish, and she is usher, even though the father died, she can no longer be considered Eshes Chavero, because Chavero died. Nevertheless, she could still be considered forbidden on the grounds that she's Imo Mamish, his own mother, literally. So to this we respond, Dumio di Oviv. Mother is taught in the context of father. Ma Oviv de Lav Mamish, just like Oviv, we established, is not literally his own father, because that would have already been included in the general prohibition of homosexual relations. Therefore, Oviv was interpreted to mean something other than father literally. Af Imoi de Lav Mamish, so too, when discussing mother, we will not say that it's literally mother. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Oviv equals Ashes Oviv. Now, we turn to Rabbi Akiva, who was featured in the same source above, and he interpreted Oviv to mean father's wife. V'ema Oviv Mamish, and we have a similar structure over here, but we're not going to see a series of suggestions under this heading, so we haven't marked it off. The Emo, but it's the same idea, an alternative, suggested alternative. Maybe it means literally father, according to Rabbi Akiva. So the Gemara says, no, father literally, and we'll explain here as we did before, is already included in the word vidovak. Hainu vidovak velo bezochar. Where we interpret dovak means cleave unto the mate, and that is not achieved through a homosexual relationship. Ihachi eishes aviv nami, Hainu beishtoi veloi beishes chaveroi. According to Rabbi Akiva, he said Oviv is a reference to Eishes Oviv. But Eishes Oviv is already alluded to through the word ishto. So why does Rabbi Akiva insist on saying that Oviv is Eishes Oviv when this would present a redundancy? So the Gemara answers, li'achar misa. What Rabbi Akiva said, that Oviv means Eishes Oviv, she is forbidden to him even after the father dies, namely even after the prohibition of Ishto Velo Be'eishes Chaveru would be no longer applicable, she, the Eishes Oviv, remains usher all the same. Continuing with Rabbi Akiva's interpretations, Imoi equals Imoi Mamish. This was Rabbi Akiva's approach, that Imo means one is also, Ben Noach is forbidden to have relations with his mother literally. The Gemara asks, why does he interpret it that way? Hainu be'ishto v'lo be'ishes chavero. This would be a redundancy, because mother literally is included already in the ishto drasha, which precluded friend's wife, and as mother literally is his father's wife. So the Gemara says, no, we're talking about a mother. This Imo Mamish is a mother who is not father's wife. She is a woman who was raped, and subsequently this individual was born. So there's no father. And as such, there's no issues over here. B'mai komiflegi, what's the underlying basis of the controversy between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva? Rabbi Eliezer Savar, Oviv Dumya de Imoi, Ve Imoi Dumya de Oviv, the parallel between mother and father in terms of the drusha, where can we parallel them? Loi mishkachas lo elo be'achva. You won't find a situation where we can draw a parallel unless you explain the prohibition here in the realm of achva, referring to brotherhood. And as Rabbi Eliezer explained, Aviv is sister of father, and Imo is sister of mother. The Rashi explains at the top, Aviv dumya d'imo, v'imo dumya d'aviv lo mishkachas lo elo be'isur d'achva, de'travayu mamish lekol d'meimar. To say Aviv and Imo is a reference to literally one prohibition of relationship with father and mother, Diem Kane, Hainu Vidovak Velo Bezochar. Father would have been excluded already anyway through Vidovak, meaning Dovak, and not with another male. So the word Oviv in the Pasuk could not mean literally father. Vitravayu Beishus Lekol the Meimar, to say both of them are prohibited through marriage because of a relationship established through marriage. For example, Oviv, and try to explain Oviv as Ashes Oviv, according to Rabbi Eliezer, that cannot be done. The ha'imoi lav mishum ishus, because the imo, the mother, is not forbidden through a marriage. Dim kain hainu Ashes Oviv. Because otherwise, if you said that she is forbidden not as mother but as the fact that she's his father's wife, but that would have already been included had you interpreted Aviv as meaning Ashes Aviv. That would have been a redundancy. Therefore, in our attempt to show a parallel between Imo and Aviv, we cannot find a parallel except for the case of Achva. Hilkoch Shravayu Ba'achva. Therefore, Rabbi Eliezer establishes both of them, Oviv and Imo, being references to those relatives that are usher through the institution of brotherhood, brother-sisterhood. Continuing in the Gemara, second line from the top of Nun Chesomet Beis, Rabbi Kiva, he held differently, he says, Mutav li'ukme bi'eshis Oviv, he says, I prefer to establish the word Oviv as a reference to father's wife, as opposed to father's sister. Why? The ikri ervas oviv. The expression of ervas oviv, erva referring to the forbidden relatives, ervas oviv is an expression that relates to the father himself. La fuke achois oviv, to the exclusion of father's sister. The father's sister is not a term, or is not a relative that is characterized by an expression referring to the father himself, but rather it's a person who's considered a relative of the father. The she'er oviv ikri, ervas oviv lo ikri. The term, or the individual, the relative called achos oviv is classified as relative of the father, as opposed to the father himself, so to speak. However, Ashes Oviv is considered, Ervas Oviv is considered a relationship of a more direct nature with the father. At this point, we see a new geometric form. In order to explain this, we glance at the side. We have our Nosei Mivne heading, the topic heading with the structural note. These are nisyonos lahavi hoychachos mipsukim, attempts to prove from verses le'ezo arayas nasru levnei noach, which types of forbidden relationships were prohibited to the bnei noach as well. With the triangle pointing up, we will see something suggesting like Rabbi Akiva. With the triangle inverted, it would be something not like Rabbi Akiva. Bearing in mind, Rabbi Akiva held that Chayvei Krisus are allowed for the Bnei Noach. The opening example is from the parents of Moshe Rabbeinu. The Pasuk describes Moshe's father, Amram, as having married his own, Amram's own aunt, Yocheved. Now, how was Yocheved related to Amram? We know that Yocheved was a daughter of Levi. We also know that Amram was a grandson of Levi. As we go on in the Gemara, we will also bear in mind that we have a little bit of a family chart written in the margin. There are two charts. One represents the Havamina, the attempt, and the second chart represents the Maskona, whereby we reject the Havamina. So let us read first the Gemara. Toshma, the Pasuk says, Vayikach Amram es Yocheved dodaso. Amram took Yocheved, his aunt. My lav, doidosoi min ho'em. Does this not mean his father's sister from the same mother as well? So if we glance at our chart, we see the Havamina chart. Levi is married to an Isha, and through that marriage, Yocheved was produced. That's eventually Moshe Rabbeinu's aunt. And Kahos, we would see a brother and sister. Kahos had a son, Amram. And the arrow in the chart indicates that Amram married Yocheved, Dodoso. It would, according to this chart, Yocheved equals Achois Oviv Af Minoim, that it's Amram's father's sister from a common mother as well. And we see from this that Achos Av, even Minhoim, is Muteris, and that would follow Rabbi Akiva's approach, and not like Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer would have forbidden Achos Ho'av min ho'em. Lo, the Gemara rejects this and says, doidosoi min ho'av, that Yocheved was Amram's doda, but only from a common father, not from a common mother. And that you can see in the second chart, where Levi had two wives. Through one of those wives, Yocheved was produced, and from the other, Kehos was produced. Therefore, Yocheved and Kos are brother and sister, but from common father alone. And Amram married Yocheved, who was his father's sister, but from through common father and not through common mother. That kind of relationship, only that kind of relationship would be allowed, and that would conform to Rabbi Eliezer's approach. Toshma. Notice the triangle is inverted. We're going to see something here that will sound not like Rabbi Akiva. This is a pasuk describing Avram and Sarah. Avram married his niece. That we know. Avram had a brother, Haran, and Haran had a daughter, Sarah. The pasuk says, when Avram confronted Avimelech, he said, V'gam omno achosi bas ovihi achloi bas imi. That is, it is true that she is my bas ovi and not bas imi. But literally, the pasuk would mean that she's my sister, the daughter of my father, but not the daughter of my mother. Michlal, we can infer from this, the Bas Ha'im Asura, that had she been the daughter of his mother, then she would have been forbidden to him. In other words, we see a relationship of Achva. This is a Kores relationship that would be forbidden. Rabbi Akiva himself said that only Chiyuvei Misos Bezin, only those that are punishable by capital punishment are forbidden. Achva would not have been forbidden, yet we see from here a form of achva that would have, yes, been forbidden, and hence not like Rabbi Akiva. The Gemara responds to this and says that the way we just approach the pasuk makes no sense, because it's not accurate factually. V'tisbara, explain yourself. Achoiso havoi, was Sarah in fact Avraham's sister? Not at all. Bas ochiv havoi, she was the daughter of his brother, she was his niece. The kevan dehachihu, and since we're talking about a niece, lo shno min ho'av, v'loi shno min ho'aim sharya. A niece, whether she is through the daughter of his brother, or daughter of his sister, it would not have made no difference. She is allowed. If that's the case, what was being said in the pasuk? Because the pasuk seemed to indicate that she was a daughter, a sister, and not a niece. Ela hasam hachi ka'amar lei. Rather, thusly Avraham was saying to Avimelech, kurva da achois is li bahada me abo veloi me imo. I am related to her through brotherhood, namely through her father, not through her mother. In other words, it's a niece from his brother. Toshma. Again, we have a source that would indicate, as you can see from the inverted triangle, a source that the Gemara will attempt to show unlike Rabbi Akiva. Mipnei ma loy nosa Odom es bita. Why is it that Odom Horishon, Adam, in the story of creation, did not marry his daughter? Kedei shiyisa kayin es achoiso. By Odom not marrying his daughter, she was thereby available to be married by Cain. Namely, Odom's son, would be able to, yes, marry his sister. Shenemar ki omarti oilom chesed yiboneh. The world was established through chesed, namely, through Odom's desire to act kindly. He refrained from marrying his daughter so as to enable Cain to marry his sister. Now, ha lav hachi, if not for this consideration, asira, the Cain would have been forbidden. If we didn't have the consideration of establishing a world, in other words, if you already had a populated world, then this kind of relationship would have been forbidden. Which relationship? Brother-sister. And that, once again, is not like Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva will answer to that, not so. Kevon de ishtari ishtari. Once it was permitted for Cain, it will continue to be permitted for future generations as well. Hence, according to Rabbi Akiva, Bnei Noach are not forbidden in marrying their sisters. At this point in the Gemara, we turn to our topic heading, the Nosei. We see in the Gemara, in our markings, an Aleph and Beis to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, where the line opposite the Beis, you notice a squiggle on the line, Ikodamri, that refers to a second version. So we feature in our Nosei heading in the outside margin, Shnei Lishoinois, two versions, Im Goy Mutar Bebito, if a Noahide is allowed to marry his daughter. A second topic that will be discussed in the upcoming lines will be Eved Kenani, a heathen slave. Ma dinoi legabi arayas de kurva. What is his legal status with regard to relatives? And number three, Ben Noach, shiyichet shivcho liavdo. We will see the Gemara discusses a Noahide that reserved a maidservant for his slave. Me'emosaihi asura, from what point is she forbidden to others and allowed for this slave alone? And me'emosai muteris, at which point does she become allowed to be taken by others? And number four, Ben Noach Shebo al Ishtoi Shelo Kedarko. The Gemara will discuss a Noahite that has relations with his wife in the unusual fashion, namely through intimacy in the entrance to his spouse through any other way other than the normal way. Turning to the Gemara, Omar Rav Huna, this is the first version of Rav Huna. He says, Kusi Mutar Bebito. The Kusi, the heathen, is allowed to marry his daughter. The Rashi points out this statement of Kusi Mutar Bebito, Bein the Rebbe Elazar, Bein the Rebbe Kiva, whether you follow either Rebbe Elazar, or I would say even Rabbi Akiva, because Rabbi Akiva, we saw before, feature court, those relationships that are forbidden through capital penalty, Rabbi Akiva holds, are forbidden to the Bnei Noach. How is it that this, which is a capital offense, is mutter to the Bnei Noach? Rashi explains, Dekosover of Huna, lo yofinon sha'ar arayas mehanach deksivi b'hai kro. We do not expand the list of forbidden relatives beyond that which were featured in the pasuk itself, as we saw darshined on Omid Aleph. Why? Midaporat kolhani, this is Rav Huna's opinion in Rabbi Akiva, from the fact that the Torah and the source that we saw troubled itself to list all of these, those relatives that were featured in the source in Omid Aleph, Shema Mino Davka Kazvinu, it's showing us that these and only these are those who are forbidden. Hence Rav Huna comes to this conclusion that a Ben Noach is Mutar Bebito, even according to Rabbi Kiva. Well, if that be the case, V'im Toimar Mitnei Ma Loi Nosa Odom Esbito, the Gemara continues and asks, if that be the case, then why did Odom Arishon not marry his daughter? Answer, Kedei Sheyisa Kayin Esachoiso, so that she would be available to Kayin in order for him to marry his sister, Mishum Oilom Chesed Yiboneh, as a mere kindliness consideration. In order to establish the world, Adam forfeited his right to his daughter on behalf of his son Cain, so that the world could be established. The Ika, the Amri, Omar Rav Huna, another version of Rav Huna, is Kusi Asur Bebito. A Kusi, the heathen, is forbidden in marrying his daughter, Teda, and proof to this is Shelo Nosa Adam Esbito. We see that Adam Harishon did not marry his daughter. The Gemara rejects this approach. It says, Velohi, that's not so. Rather, in truth, Odom could have married his daughter, Hosam Hainu Taimo, and there the reason that Odom refrained from marrying his daughter, Kedei Sheyisa Kayin Esachoso, so that she would be available for Kayin to marry his sister, Mishum the Oilom Chesed Yiboneh, because of this consideration of kindliness, which is the source of establishing the world. In other words, the world's population could not have been established if not for this option to be available. But as we said, by letter of the law, Adam could have married his daughter. Omar of Chisda, Eved Mutar Beimoi U Mutar Bebito. A servant, a slave, an Eved Knani of a Yisrael, is mutter to have relations with his mother and with his daughter, and certainly with other arayas. Why is that? Yotza Mikla Kusi, he's, as an Eved, he has a unique status. He is no longer considered a simple Ben Noach. However, Uklal Yisrael, and to as being part of the Jewish community, Lo Ba. So he's neither here nor there. So he doesn't have the restrictions of even the Bnei Noach, and certainly not the restrictions of Yisrael. Ki also Rav Dimi, Omer Rav Elazar, Omer Rav Chanina, Ben Noach Shiichet Shivcho Liavdoi. If a Ben Noach reserved a maidservant for his slave, in other words, that he anticipated the maidservant marrying or being with his slave, and was miyachid her for that purpose. Ubo'olel, and then he, the owner, had relations with this maidservant. Neherag olel. This would be a capital offense, and he would be subject to death penalty for that. May Amosai, from what point is she considered miuchedes to avdo? Is she considered reserved for? Amar Rav Nachman, midekaru la, from the point that the public refers to her as revisa de planya, planya so and so, the eved, so and so's girl. Revisa, the yaldo shelploni. May Amos hatarasa, from what point can we establish that she's no longer reserved for him? In other words, at what point would we say that we can see that they've broken up the relationship? Amar Rav Huna, Mishapora Roisha Bashuk. We find a very interesting point made by Rashi. Rashi on the first wide line under the Gemara says, Mishatifra Roisha Bashuk, which means from the point she uncovers her hair, Shohi Regilois Av HaNochrios HaNesuos Shalolotzeis Baroish Poro. It was common even for non-Jewish women to cover their hair when married. The whole idea of married women covering their hair was not something that is specific to the Jewish people, but it was a practice that was practiced by all of humanity. Hence, if this shivcha, if this maidservant is now seen to be walking with around with uncovered hair, this is an indication that she's no longer reserved for that particular eved, slave. Omar Rebbe Lozer, Omar Rebbe Chanina, Ben Noach Shebo al Ishto Shaloi Kedarka. A Ben Noach that has intimacy with his wife in the Shalo Kedarka fashion. Chayov, he is considered guilty. Shenemar, the Posek, in addressing the Bnei Noach, says, Vidovak, he shall cleave upon her. And velo shelo kedarka. Rashi explains that devekus is achieved when there is hano, when there is sensual pleasure, when sensual pleasure is achieved by both sides, then they will cleave unto one another. However, if one side is not experiencing this pleasure, so they won't cleave to one another. Maybe only one side will be interested, but not the other. And that's not called dovak. Hence, those kinds of intimacy that do not provide the joint pleasure, and that is achieved only through the kedarko method, hence it is forbidden. The Gemara asks on this, how can you say such a thing? How can you say that a Ben Noach is forbidden in Bio Shalo Kedarka? Omar Rava, mi ikomidi, is there anything? The Yisrael lo mechayev, that the Jewish people are not held guilty for. In other words, Bio Shalo Kedarka is not something that a Yisrael is chayev on, and yet the Kusi mechayev and the Ben Noach would be considered guilty over that. Elo Omar Rava, Ben Noach Shebo al Eishes Chaveroi Shelo Kedarka. We can see that Rava is number two. He is a second approach to that which Rabbi Elozer began dealing with the issue of Bia Shelo Kedarka. Rava says that a Ben Noach that has relations with his fellow's wife, Shelo Kedarka, Potter, he is exempt. In other words, even though a Ben Noach is warned not to have intimacy with his fellow's wife, this restriction is only in the Kedarka fashion. My Taimo, why does Rava conclude this leniency? The answer, Be'ishto velo be'ishes chavero. The Pasuk warns against having intimacy with one's fellow's wife. However, Vidovak, only if that relationship is through a vidovak method, velo shelo kedarka, and not in the unusual way. As we mentioned before, vidovak is an indication of a prohibition only if both sides are experiencing the pleasure. Amar Rabbi Chanina, we've double underlined Rabbi Chanina's name as indicative of a series of comments that he will make. In fact, we will see two comments of his in the next couple lines. Omar Bichanina, Oyved Kechavim Shehiko Es Yisrael, Chayav Misa. An idol worshipper that struck a Jew is Chayav a death penalty. Shenemar, it says by Moshe Rabbeinu, who noticed a Mitzri, an Egyptian, who had beaten a Jew, and it says there, Vayifen Koi Vachoi, he looked around, Vayar Ki Enish, and he saw that nothing good was going to come from this Mitzri, Vayach Es HaMitzri, and he struck and killed the Mitzri. This, once again, was a Mitzri who had beaten a Jew. The Omar Rabbi Hanina, Hasoiter Loyoi Shel Yisrael, one who slaps the face of a Jew, Ki'ilu Soter Loyoi Shel Shechina, it is considered as if he slapped the divine presence himself. Shenemar Moikesh Odom Yola Kodesh, that one who beats Odom, which is a reference to Yisrael, Rashi points out, Yisrael Kruyim Odom, and the Pasuk says, Yola Kodesh. Yola is from the word lo-o that we saw just before. It's considered as if he struck the cheek of the holiness himself. The next few words you see in the Gemara are a simon. They're an abbreviated comment introducing the upcoming topics. Magbia, Avdoi, Shabbos, Simon. The topic heading that we have assigned to this section, on the side you see Nose, HaMagbia Yodoi Al Chavero, Afalpi Shalohiko. We're going to discuss the issue of someone raising a threatening hand to his friend, even if he doesn't actually strike him. We will also see a diamond featured. This is explained under the Mivneh heading, Sidra Shel Memro Shel Reish Lakish, a series of comments made by Reish Lakish. Omar Reish Lakish, HaMagbia Yodoi Al Chavero, one who raises his hand to his friend, Afalpi Shalohiko, even if he didn't actually strike him. Number one, Nikra Rasha. We will see here a series of descriptions, and we've numbered them. As you scan down the Gemara, you will notice the different terms that are used for someone who strikes his friend, and in addition to the numbering, you also notice a volcano marking around the expression that he is called. So you see the first expression in the volcano marking is Rasha, the second expression is Chote, the third, though it's not an expression, but rather a way of dealing with him, it says Tiksatz Yodo, his hand should be cut off. And the fourth approach is that of Rav Elazar, who says, Ein lo takona, ela kvura. So what we've done is we've marked the word kvura. He has no hope other than being buried. And we've noted that with our series marking as well, the volcano marking. So starting the list, we see Reish Lakish said he's called Nikra Rasha. Shinemar Vayomer LeRasha Loma Sake Re'echa. So we see the term Rasha and the word Take. What is the significance of the word Take? We've dashed underlined, of course, these two expressions as being the central point of the drasha. Loma Hikisa Lo Nemar Ela Loma Take. Why does it not say in the Pasuk, why did you strike your friend? The word hikisa would mean in the past that you did it already. But it doesn't say that. It says loma take, which equals afalpi shelo hiko nikra rasha. The word, by using this term take, why are you about to hit your friend, is what is stated. And even so, the pasuk calls him rasha. Ze'iri omar Rabbi Yochanina nikra chote, that one who raises his hand is called a sinner. Shinemar, this pasuk is found by the Bnei Eli, the sons of Eli HaKoyen. These were people that lived at the time of Shmuel Hanavi, and they try to strong arm sacrifices away from the owners, and without getting into any details, but the pasuk says they threatened the public in their desire to acquire the meat, as the psukim elaborate further, and it says, "V'im loy, if you don't give it to us like we want it, lokachti b'chuzka, we will take it through strength." And that's the idea of the strong arm method, or the raising of the arm in a threatening fashion. Uksivin, it says, Vati chatas haneurim gedolo mi'oid. So you see this idea of lokachti bechozka, and they are called, it says, the Pasuk says, and the sins of these young people, the Ne'orim, meaning the sons of Eli, was a great sin. So through our markings, we've emphasized the key expressions as well, bechozka, and the word chatas. Rav Huna Omar, tiktsas yodoi. The appropriate way of dealing with people that raise their arms in attempting to threaten or strike their fellow, is the way to deal with that is cut off their arm. Shinema uzroa roma tishaver, the high arm, the raised arm, shall be broken. The Gemara even points out Rav Huna cuts yada, and on a particular occasion Rav Huna actually cut off someone's hand. And if you'll ask how in the world does he have license to do that, Rashi points out, based on the Gemara that we've seen earlier in this Masichta Daf Mem Vav, that Bezdin Hoyumakin Voinshin Shalom in HaTorah, that Bezdin had the right to carry out different types of punishments, even if it's not by letter of the law, but in an attempt to protect the Torah lifestyle. Continuing in the Gemara, Rabbi Elozer Omer, a fourth approach to this topic, is Ein lo takona ela kvura. The only hope or solution for people like this is burial. Shenemar v'ish zroa loy haaretz. The strong-armed individual, unto him is the land, meaning the land is a place for him to be buried. V'yomer Rabbi Elozer, another comment made by Rabbi Elozer, and that's why it says here, V'omar, and he said, and with our markings we've also indicated an aleph above the first comment of Rabbi Elozer, and a beis over here, drawing your attention to the fact this is a second comment of his. He says, Lo nitno karka elabali zroos. Landholding is given to those that are strong armed. Shenemar, v'ish zroa loy haoretz. That the tough individual is the one who will be successful in holding on to land. Rashi points out that issues of land ownership were often the subject of social controversy. Neighbors or different people argued and fought over land rights and land ownership. And in order to be successful in maintaining one's land, one had to be strong. V'yomer Reish Lakish. With the diamond, we see another comment of Reish Lakish, as we featured above in our Mivneh marking, the series of Reish Lakish comments they appear in diamonds. He says, "May dichtiv oived admosoy yisba lechem." That one who works the land will be satisfied through his bread. And the drosha is, "Im oisa adam atzmoi ke'eved ladam." If one makes himself like a slave to his land, this is indicative of someone who is diligent in his agricultural cultivating activities, yisba lechem, he will eventually have bread. However, v'im lav, if one is lax with regard to tending to his land, lo yisba lechem, he won't have any produce, and he won't be satisfied through the bread. What is being conveyed over here is that land cultivation requires constancy and diligence. Now we have another comment of Reish Lakish that's introduced through a diamond, but we have an additional geometric form, the crown form, and this is explained on the side. We have a topic here that we're titling Akum Sheshavas, an idol worshiper who practices a day of Sabbath, a sabbatical day, namely a day that he ceases from working, from avodah. The Mivneh, we see this form is found on the top of Nun Tes Amud Aleph as well. Akum ha'oisa oisam, things that an idol worshiper does, if he does these things, chayav misa, he will be guilty of death. The two examples that are featured in our Gemara, one here and the next on Nun Tes Amud Aleph, this one is Oyvei Kechovim Sheshavas Chayav Misa, and by glancing up to Nun Tes Amud Aleph, you'll notice Oyvei on the third line from the top, Oyvei Kechovim Sheoisek B'Torah Chayav Misa. We will start the discussion with the first example. the Omar Reish Lakish, Oved Kechavim Sheshavas Chayav Misa, an idol worshiper that accepts upon himself a sabbatical day, he takes off a day from work, he's Chayav death penalty. Shenemar, the Pasuk says, V'yoyim V'layla Lo Yishboisu. The word lo is a reference to a negative command, that day and night they shall not shoveis, they shall not cease from work. V'yomamar azhora shelahen zuhi misosan. And we've already taught that their warning is, in effect, an announcement of their being subjected to the death penalty. Omar Ravina, afilu sheni b'shabbos. Even if the day that they are taking off from work is not a formal day of rest, in other words, it's not, even if it's not Shabbos, which according to this Gemara, it would be obvious that there would be a chiyuv misa if he is taking off on Shabbos. And Rashi goes on to say, and even if it's not Sunday, which seems to be according to Rashi another one of those generally accepted days of rest, and we are quite familiar with that, with the idea of Sunday being a day off. This Gemara is going further. Not only taking off on Shabbos is by Din HaGemara is forbidden to them, and not only Sunday, but even Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, any other day. The fact that Monday is cited here, Rashi says, is just an example of any other uncommon day of taking off. He is not allowed to take off. The Gemara asks, if that be the case, v'lech shivo gabi zayin mitzvahs, so why is it not in the list of the seven Noahide laws? The Gemara answers, ki kohoshiv, the list of seven Noahide laws, shev v'altase, are laws that are of a, or that are fulfilled by non-activity, by sitting and not doing, for example, not murdering, not being immoral, not cursing God. However, kum asei lo kachoshiv, those mitzvahs that are accomplished through positive activities are not in the list. So even though it might be part of the mitzvahs b'nei Noach, it doesn't fit into the list. Because in this particular halacha, this particular law is accomplished not by ceasing, but to the contrary, by remaining active. The Gemara asks, v'hod dinin kum asei hu v'kachoshiv, but in the list of Sheva b'mitzvahs b'nei Noach, the Gemara here at the top of Nun Tes Amud Aleph says the need to set up a legal system is included, and that's a positive command. That is accomplished by setting up an action of a positive nature. So the Gemara says the issue of dinim is actually comprised of two aspects. Kum asei, there is also a negative aspect, namely, do not contort the law. And that being a negative concept makes dinim subject to being included in the list of Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.